Good afternoon. It is 12:02. It's Friday. Our usual slot on Friday afternoon is, of course, State Senator Jeb Bradley. He's unavailable today. However, with the election coming up Tuesday, we thought we would have both gentlemen in who are running for Wolfboro Select Board. The election is as you know, Tuesday at town meeting. Brad Harriman is with us and Jody Person is with us. Mr. Harriman is the existing Select Board member. Mr. Person is trying to get that seat. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. You're the incumbent, so we'll start with you first.
Okay.
You're open?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having us here today. As you folks know, my name is Brad Harriman. I've been on the Select Board for 9 years now, running for another term. So I bring quite a bit of experience along with me. My background is in public works. I've worked my whole life in road building, utilities, water sewer lines, maintenance, installation, all that kind of stuff, drainage, all those kind of things. So that's where my strengths really are, is in the public works sector of the town here. I was raised here in Wolfboro, raised my kids in Wolfboro. I went through all the local schools and everything, and came back after college and ran a family business of doing earthwork for, I worked in that for 36 years, and I worked as public works director for 13 years, retired from that, so that's where I am now. So appreciate your support on Tuesday, and thank you.
Mr. Pearson.
Thank you. Thanks for having us today.
Sure.
My name is Jody Person. I've lived in town for about 17, 18 years. I moved up to Wolfboro to take over Back Bay Marina down at Back Bay. For quite a few years, we ran that business in town and really liked the town. My wife and I and my son moved up here from Barrington when we took over the marina there. And I really like the town. I do a lot of fishing, and I love to be able to just put the boat in and go out on Winnipesaukee right out of downtown. I guess I got interested in the politics of town when I kept seeing the town hall keep coming up for a vote for renovation, and the townspeople kept knocking it down. But I am a newcomer. I got to admit, there's a lot to, a lot to being a selectman. And I think I can really, I'm a fast learner. And I'm just, looking for a common sense, approach to things. But that's who I am.
Okay. All right. Well, you'll be first on this next question. Is what is it that you hope to accomplish as a select board member?
I hope to, if I can get in there in the seat, I think I would really like to work at getting more transparency behind the scenes and maybe work towards getting the townspeople to really maybe start really getting involved. Or, there's a lot of people in town I know that they just, all they do is bicker and, complain about things for years and years and years. And it's like, and they just feel like they have no... They have no say. I want to get in there to give those people the say in town. That's sort of what I'm looking to do, is to get the community involved more instead of they just feel like they're left out. I call them the forgotten taxpayers of Wolfboro, and that's one of my directions.
Okay. Mr. Harriman, what do you hope to accomplish if you win the seat?
I hope to continue working on a lot of the projects that we have going now. We have some things in front of us that need attention, as we'll probably get to a little bit later. Some of our infrastructure, we have a lot of some 100-year-old water lines that are in dire need of replacement and upgrades. We have a sewer system near capacity. We need to plan for future growth of the town and being able to hook into the sewer system if there's a project in town, as we have one kind of in front of us now over on my Back Bay there that would really max out and strain our ability to handle the system now.
That's the workforce housing project?
Correct, yep. So we have issues like that where we really want to continue looking forward for the town for, I don't know if controlled growth is the right word or the term or not, but to plan for our future, you know, plan for, you know, a normal expected, you know, growth of the town. So there's a lot of projects that would need to happen along those lines to make that happen in Wolfboro. So, and I think they're very important and are on our radar, and I'd like to be a part of, you know, the solutions to those moving forward.
Okay. There are 41 articles on this year's voting list, which is quite a bit, and none of us know all of them, I'm sure. But I do want to discuss a couple of them. First of all, we'll start with you, Mr. Person. Which one is most important to you?
I would say the most important one is the Pop Whalen project. I think the Pop Whalen is this project is one of the good ones I've seen come along that I really I don't want to see Pop Whalen fall. It's fallen into disrepair. It definitely needs, you know, it needs work and everything, but I think this is one of the projects that, you know, it makes sense. But what I've been telling everybody in town, what I've been campaigning is, I'm not against the Pop Whalen project, but I'm against the way they're doing it. It's been put together way too fast. There's a whole, I don't know if maybe I can explain that.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, the Pop Whalen, what we voted on last year was money to study and engineer, I think, to replace the roof, siding, electrical upgrade, dehumidifier, that kind of stuff. And I believe that project started out at $900,000 last winter and towards the spring. And then all of a sudden over the summer, the Friends of Pop Whalen hired an engineer to go through the building, and that engineer came up with a plan that the building could be saved for the, and you know, structurally saved and up, brought up to code for the snow loads. I believe that was roof insulation, bracing and reworking the structure to take those snow loads to meet the codes. Basically what you see now, it would that plan from that engineer was $1.8 million, and that would bring what you see up to snuff. That would not be the addition they want to do and everything. That would be separate. So for whatever reason, they hired another engineer. That engineer, as far as I'm told, condemned the building, and now it morphed into a when that happened, it morphed into a $4.7 million project. The 4.7 was talked about for a while into the fall and into the winter. It was printed in the newspaper at 4.7, you know, Pop Whalen project going well. And then all of a sudden they had a bond hearing a week before the deadline to be a warrant article. And I'm not sure what happened at that meeting, but it got put off till the actual day of the deadline, I believe it was. And when they came in for that bond hearing, it had gone up to 6.9, let's say. 6.9
yeah, almost
million.
Seven.
Yeah, almost 7 million. And it just seems like I don't understand how you could ever get those numbers together. And I think but the Pop Whalen is definitely, it's something, like I said, it's the first project that's come along in town that I think makes a difference to kids' lives, people's lives. I want to see that place, you know, maybe it needs to be replaced, but the process of it that they're going through is just, it's too fast. I can't get a straight number out of one of the directors, wouldn't tell me how much they have raised. The town manager said he didn't know. Nobody, they was sort of beating around the bush. They didn't want to tell me how much money is actually in the bank. And I even said to the director, I said, if you had the $2.7 million in the bank, I would have to think, I would seriously think about voting yes for it. And
that's the $2.7 million in donations.
Yes, the
from
two,
the Friends
I'm sorry,
of Pop
yep,
Whalen.
The 2.7 from Friends of Pop Whalen. I couldn't get a straight answer out of that. And I just, you know, it's just that, that's one of the reasons, you know, that's another one of my reasons for running is, it just seems like the town of Wolfboro, it's, their direction sometimes, they just get too excited about stuff and they really go too fast. And there's not a lot of planning put into it. And I mean, things do happen. I mean, look at the Libby Museum project. We have taxpayers' money sitting. That's ran into some snags in raising the money. And things do happen in the world. I mean, it's, you know, but now we have that's just sitting on hold. I don't want to see Pop Whalen turn into a holding pattern and be a mess. That's all. That's. Yeah.
Mr. Harriman, can you tell us how the Pop got onto the warrant, you know, how things get onto a warrant in the first place, and then your response to what Mr. Person said?
Yeah, thanks. The Friends of Pop Whalen initiated the project, wanting to raise money to do an addition on the building there for better locker rooms and also to address the problems we're having with the roof and the insulation, as Jody had pointed out. We've had the roof leaks in there, the condensation, because it's not an insulated building, and there's no humidity control in there at all. So condensation will develop on the inside of that, then drip down on the ice and actually damage the ice, so it's not safe for the skaters to even be on. So it kind of promoted the whole project here. So the Friends, you know, developed a plan, got hold of engineers and, you know, architects, and came to the town with a preliminary plan. I can't remember how long ago this was now. And Jody's right, the initial plan that had come through was to change the roof, you know, put a new roof on it, and bring the building up structurally to it for about $1.8 million. Then the problem we found after that was that with that work being done, it would not allow the way the structure is there now for any addition to go on to the building, for any of the locker rooms and the expansion for the hockey teams and stuff like that to be able to utilize. And I'm not sure, but I don't believe that $1.8 million included all the HVAC in it for the heating, the temperature control, dehumidification, and all that stuff too. So I think that came up into the 4 points, because then it grew to a $4.7 million when they were talking about taking the building out. And that reason was, as pointed out, the original engineer came in and the structural engineer missed a lot of the details on the steel that it was built with back in 80, I want to say it was 86, I think it was when that building was put up, somewhere back in the 80s anyway. And it was a lower grade steel, and it met the code at the time, but the codes have changed, so it did not meet the snow loads or anything there anymore. And to bring that up to snuff there, you would have to, you know, weld webs into the to strengthen up the beams, add purlins, and even then it would barely meet the snow load, given that. And it would be a hacked up building too at the time, and with no ability to add on to it or do any changes inside from that point forward. So it came then, so it grew to the 4.7. And then I think that the reason it went from 4.7 to the 6.9 was just escalation costs and construction, as they've just gone nuts the last year and a half, 2 years here. Cost of steel has just gone absolutely crazy. And then construction costs along with it, with the labor and all that stuff. So that's how it's grown to where it is. Regarding the Friends' contribution, we don't know how much they have in the bank right now either. That's, you know, they're committed to do $2.7 million of the project. The way I see it, the way I understand it, is that they would have to come up with that $2.7 million for this, because the town's only going to put in our share of it. It'll end up being $3.5 million, because we also, the enterprise fund is going to kick in, I believe, $735,000 or something like that into it, which is, the enterprise fund is the funds it generates from the rental of the ice to like Brewster Academy, to Kingswood, right, for the Pop Whalen, for the kids there, the programs and stuff there. Mm-hmm. So they'll be kicking in that amount of money to, you know, to pay in on the bond payments and stuff. So so that's kind of where we're at and how we got there. It did move fairly fast, mainly because the other consideration was that the building could possibly have to be shut down, and then nothing would be happening up there. So I think that's kind of what lit a fire underneath everybody to, you know, bring this forward on the pace that it is.
By the way, on Sunday at the Pop, Bruins alumni are going to be there playing a game, and our own Mike and the Hoss are going to be there. Mike will be on the ice. Charlie will be in the announce booth. So if you can go, I think tickets are $20. It's a, you know, obviously a great cause, and to meet some of the Bruins people you may have grown up with watching them on TV and stuff. Just wanted to put that in there. It is 12:18, and we're talking with Brad Harriman and Jody Person. They are both running for select board here in Wolfboro. If you have a question, please feel free to call 569-5253, and you can ask your question. Let's start with a little bit more basic, Mr. Person. Are we spending too much money as a town?
Well, I'd like to say it's some of the projects are just they're going in the wrong direction. But I believe this is the first year that the operating budget has been, isn't it, right close to what last year's was, I think.
It's pretty close,
yeah,
if I remember.
Yeah. You know, which is different. It didn't jump up a lot. And I think, you know, for the most part, it's just, you know, some of the projects, on the infrastructure, I think there's a lot of things that get done that have to be done. I understand that. I mean, you have to, we all pay taxes to put money together and keep up the town, keep up the, stuff that properties that the town owns and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just the projects like the Model Railroad Museum, taxpayers' money for a Model Railroad Museum is just, it's pretty ludicrous. It's like, I mean, that should have been private. Just stuff like that. And okay. It's sometimes it's not just about spending too much money. It's maybe spending it right. Let me go back to the town hall project just to say when that renovation went through, we hired an engineering firm. We didn't go with that engineering firm, so that was $500,000 that was disposed of with the first engineering firm, and then they went with another engineering firm, and I think the town hall was a lot of money, and it wasn't money spent well, and I think it was like it's a shoddy restoration, and it's already showing manifesting problems, like we couldn't go in the front because the slate roof tiles were sliding off and possibly could hurt or kill somebody, and it's just shoddy stuff, you know. It's not always that we're spending too much, it's the way we spend it. Maybe that's a better way to put it, but...
Okay. Mr. Harriman, are we spending the right amount of money or too much money?
I think we're spending what we need to spend. As Jody pointed out, our operating budget, we really kept, and every year we go in with the town manager to the department heads with shooting for a zero increase. But we do know that we have union contracts that have agreements with percent raises. And also involved with that, we have health insurance. We have a lot of items are out of our control, fuel costs, things like that, that just we have no control over. So that obviously has an impact on the budget. So we do try and keep a very tight handle on that between, you know, the town manager brings a budget, presents it to the Board of Selectmen. We go through it line by line with every department head. We make cuts and here and there on it. And then it goes to the Budget Committee, and they do the same thing. They go through it line by line. And then the Budget Committee's budget is the one that actually gets presented to the voters on Tuesday here on the 8th. Regarding warrant articles and infrastructure, we need to keep in mind, too, that there's been an awful lot of grant money available out there. And we have department heads that have been very aggressive and very good at looking for it and finding it and applying for it. And right now, our infrastructure projects for the water, wastewater, and storm drainage, we've brought in about $2.5 million of grant money to leverage about $5 million worth of projects there. So we're getting, for every dollar we're spending, we're getting another dollar coming in on it. So we're getting great value for our dollar on what we're doing there. And as Jody pointed out too, he loves the lake, and the lake, Winnipesaukee, is the backbone of Wolfboro. I mean, that's why people come to Wolfboro, because of the lake here. And if we don't take care of that lake, things are going to change. So that's why the town has been very aggressive in our stormwater management. We've been doing projects to alleviate the runoff going into, like, Winter Harbor. We've had cyanobacteria breakouts there the last couple of years ago. Been monitoring that a lot now. So we've been doing treatment projects along the watershed that feeds down into there. One of the main projects we just finished last year was Kerry Beach. It was a great project there to eliminate pollution from getting into the lake. Things like that. Same with our, as I talked about, the infrastructure, our water sewer. We call it I&I, infiltration and inflow into the sewer system. We're having groundwater leak into old systems, the old manholes and the old pipes. Well, that water's ended up in our treatment plant, gets treated and pumped up to our RIB site. Well, the more of that we can eliminate, the more opportunity we have, as I mentioned earlier, with our capacity on our wastewater system for projects similar to the workforce housing on Back Bay there and stuff. So taking care of our aging utilities and infrastructure is very important to us, and the money needs to be spent to deal with that. Now, back in 2006, there was a moratorium in Wolfboro. There were no DES came into us, said no water and no sewer hookups to anybody. So if somebody wanted to come in, buy a house, say on Forest Road where there's a water main goes by it, they weren't allowed to tie into it. And if they were on Main Street with a sewer system, they couldn't tie into that either. So building permits were held up. People couldn't, build. It was a bad time for Wolfboro. So we, got a handle on it. We started doing these projects and stuff. And, so we're in a pretty healthy place right now. We need to continue to move forward in that direction. If we stop again now, we could end up going back into that type of problem and issue that the town had.
Out of curiosity, why do some of those articles require a 3/5 majority, where most of them require a simple majority?
If the warrant article has a bond in it where you're bonding it, it requires the 60%, 3/5.
Ah, okay.
That's the reason. If it's just a simple, if we're raising cash money from the taxpayer, say $100,000 to go to a project, so say for a capital reserve fund for the trucks or something for the fire department, that that's only a majority on that. So it's bonding is what causes it to be 3/5.
Okay. It's 12:25. Thank you very much for listening to WASR as we talk to Brad Harriman and Jody Person, both candidates for Wolfboro Select Board. Let's talk a little bit about that workforce housing. A lot of people acknowledge the need for it. Mr. Person's already got a smile on his face. But on the other hand, a lot of people are hesitant about the rapid growth or potential rapid growth of the town. Where are you on this?
Where I'm on it is probably, this is America. As far as those guys, they have a right to definitely pursue their dreams or what they want to do down there at Back Bay with the... Let me compare this to... Years ago, I tried down in Alton in an old gravel pit. I tried to put in a motorsports park for motocross, ATVs, and I went in there, and I thought it was the right spot for it. And the meetings started getting so big down in Alton that we had to move to the high school for people for it and against it. So, my outlook is on it. If they meet the criteria all the power to them. I'm not going to be one to sit there with the torch and the pitchfork and you know, as far, you know, personally, I don't think it's the right place for it, but maybe it is. Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, I fish a lot down Back Bay, and, you know, I really don't know what to say on that. I think it's their right to go ahead with this project, and if they can meet all the criteria and everything's, you know, but I think the power of the people is going to shine on that one, just like it did with me when I tried to build my motorsports park, and I got to the point where I just had to throw my hands down. I lost who knows how much, I don't even want to think of how much money I spent on engineer, you know,
lawyers, yeah, and engineers,
just,
and
yeah,
stuff
it's
like
just
that,
you know,
yeah.
So I would have to, you know, I'm not that type of person to be like that, to, you know, I want to see them, if it's what they want to do and they meet the criteria, then all the power to them. And I'm not one to you know, I not to go back to the Pop Whalen, but I mean, I've been out campaigning and I haven't told one person to vote no or yes. I give them the facts of what I found out when I sat down with the town manager. And, you know, I think it's, I would like to see people just make their own decisions on things sometime. And, but that's where I'm at on that.
Okay. Mr. Harriman, was it 40 or 50 units? Supposedly in this project?
I believe so. I haven't gotten any of the meetings. I wouldn't see it till it came to the planning board, because that's one of the boards that I sit on for the Board of Selectmen there. And I think that's going to be one of the governing issues there. And like with Jody, I'm not saying you're right or wrong, whether it should go through or not go through or whatever there. I agree it's up to, you know, the people, the you know, the owners of the property to present it to the public, and for, you know, for the vote to happen, and have everybody have their input on it. Whether it's right or not, I think the tough part of it is the density that they're asking for. Because I'm trying to think now, the zoning allows for, I can't remember if it's three units per acre or whatever it is, and they're, it's almost doubles what they're asking for with the mm-hmm. variance and stuff. So I think that's really the hanging point, right? You know, that I see that a lot of people are having a problem with. So, do we need it in Wolfboro? Yeah, they do the studies and say that, yeah, we need to keep the younger people here working, you know, to be able to, you know, support the, you know, the jobs and stuff that are available here. As everybody knows, and, you know, just reading and working in the industries and stuff like that, we know that the people aren't applying to the jobs right now, so there's a reason for it. Whether they just aren't in the area, they can't afford to be in the area, you know, I honestly don't know. So, but I think it should. I think the project, you know, should be heard, should be presented the way that the developers envision it to be, and you know, go within the guidelines that are available to them with the zoning ordinances, and go from there.
Okay. Of course, if that project was to happen, it would affect the school system quite a bit. I think that's a hidden cost that a lot of people don't necessarily see. I realize the school board is a separate entity, but do you think our schools are adequately funded?
I think so. I think they've done a good job of getting the whole district built up. I've seen them over the years go to each of the towns and upgrade their elementary school portions that are in the individual towns, and then, you know, do the add-ons onto Kingswood Middle School and High School for when the kids all come together at the upper grades. So I think the school system has a capacity, you know, for an influx of more kids to come in there. So yeah, I think it would, you know, going along that line too. It's not going to only affect the school system, but it's going to affect, you know, all the support services in the town, you know, fire, police, ambulance, all that mm-hmm. stuff, because you know, it's going to be more people, a neighborhood of people there, another neighborhood to have to, you know, respond to on occasion and stuff. So it adds to the workload of all of the departments in the town. So
Yeah, I believe Chief Rondo was looking to expand his department by at least one officer when he was here week before, I believe.
Yep.
All right, Mr. Person, same question. Are our schools adequately funded?
I'm not an expert on that, but yeah, I think they've been getting a lot of. I know they've been getting a lot of, not grants, but, you know, stuff for the COVID, you know, so I think they got a lot of money from that. But as far as it seems like we always take care of the kids. When something needs to be repaired or they redid the schools, you know, I consider that infrastructure. I mean, a lot of people in town aren't happy that they, you know, there might be a lot of couples that never had kids and they have to pay in. It's like, but, you know, we all live in this world. So it's, you know, I think it's an important thing. And I think it seems to be funded well. Whenever something arises, it seems to be taken care of.
What's important to you about Wolfboro, the most important issue facing Wolfboro right now?
Most important issue. I think an important issue is planning for the future. You know, everybody's decisions, you know, these decisions that we make today can have repercussions or make waves for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to get more, like I told you about transparency and maybe trying to get more people involved. And you're never going to have everybody get along.
Right.
There's always going to be difference of opinions. But I think the most important thing is to see us move forward, better spending, more conversations, I think that's,
and
really
to be clear,
important.
It's not necessarily less spending, but better spending is what you're saying.
Yeah, it could be less spending too, but I mean,
right.
You know, it just seems like we get to the point
where...
Well,
it could always be less spending.
Yeah, no, but we're getting to a point in the country and in the world, it's like when you talk about $1 million, nobody gets excited anymore. But,
right.
You know, years ago, you talk about, $1 million, and, you know, now it's like, I get excited when I hear $10,000 or $50,000 or...
Sure.
You know, or, you know, but that's my take on that.
Okay. Mr. Harriman, what's the most important issue facing Wolfboro?
I really think it's some of our aging infrastructure that we have out there. And a lot of it is kind of right in the downtown area, which would also be affecting our lake also, with a drainage system, the sewer system there. Getting that all taken care of and upgraded will lead toward the future of Wolfboro also, because it's going to allow us that ability to grow the way that Wolfboro wants to grow, you know, however it decides it wants to expand out and stuff, whether it's commercially or residentially, and with the workforce housing, you know, all those types of projects all depend on, everything really depends on the utilities and the infrastructure that we have available to operate these things. So, and that goes back, you know, to the stormwater part too, of keeping that lake clean. That's absolutely huge in the scheme of things here. I think a lot of us kind of take it for granted. It's been here so long. It's been such a beautiful lake and everything, that, you know, we do need to step up and, you know, keep our eyes open and, you know, do these projects that are going to, you know, keep it at least as clean as it is now and hopefully improve it so that we can not have to worry about cyanobacteria breakouts and, you know, beach closures and stuff like that when our kids are all out there swimming and stuff like that. So,
okay, it's 12:36 here in WASR. Happy Friday. Sunshine the rest of today, maybe some rain for later this weekend on Sunday, but it will be up in the 50s. If you are a snowmobiler, you have my sympathy. It hasn't been a great snow year. But anyway, One of the other things that it's not on the warrant article, but we've been talking about it when Chief Rondo has been here, about the new public safety building. I realize that's right now kind of in the discussion phase, but what, if anything, has the select board done with that?
This has started back in 2017. We put together the committee to do a study of our public safety building complex on South Main Street there. Worked with an architect, came up with a plan to renovate the existing building for both fire and police to stay there. Came up with a price tag of about $11 to $12 million. And recently that was upgraded with the cost of construction and everything, the increases of being estimated out at about $16 million now. So it was decided to, for that committee decided to, Board of Selectmen recommended to them, well, they recommended to us, and we agreed with it, to go out and search all the properties and look at the economy of splitting the departments out, you know, pulling the PD out, keeping the fire department where it is there. So we explored all the properties that the town owns. We explored properties that were available, private properties for sale, including Citizens Bank, which ended up, Brewster ended up buying, to look at, you know, all these different sites here, locations. You know, we have a location out in Center Wolfboro, Wolfboro Center on 109 East, where there's a substation out there now for the fire department. There's a property there. There's, you know, there's just quite a few properties we look down on Filter Bed Road. You know, some of these spots that we have the lands on and stuff, and determined that the site up on North Main Street was best suited. So plans are, preliminary plans are drawn up for that site, and I believe there is a warrant article this year for $300,000 to go toward developing these plans for to be construction grade and ready for bid. Grade quality plan, so they'd be ready, you know, if it got presented as a whole project, the plans are ready to go. Now I've seen some things out there that, you know, that if they ended up getting voted down and the whole thing gets wasted and stuff like that, you couldn't, you know, do it somewhere else. Well, that's not entirely true, because the study committee came up with, well, they designed the building, they do it in blocks inside the building, what the needs are of the PD for different portions for them, for the offices, for to conduct their not interrogations, but questioning and stuff like that. And so the building is put together that way in blocks and all staged together there. So that building could be moved to any different site and stuff. The only difference would be you'd have to design probably a different entrance road and parking area, just a layout like that. It would be very minimal. So these plans would not be wasted by any stretch of the imagination if, you know, if it does get approved to develop these plans to construction grade, you know, level of plans there. So that's where we're at with it right now. And then down the road, we would look at in years to come, we'd start concentrating on the fire department, renovating the bays where the fire trucks are now. And then renovating the inside offices there for them to, because they'd have the other side to expand out into for their facility there, for the firemen and the chief and all that stuff there. So,
okay. Mr. Person, it's a lot of money, as you heard.
I'm getting excited. I'm hearing that the millions. No.
The millions.
Okay, where can I start on this one? I think as Wolfboro grows, we're definitely going to, something's, you know, has to be done. And I'll tell you what I really like about this project is how it's going slow. We're taking it sounds like time and really putting some time and going slow and doing, you know, looking into different properties, just taking the project is going at the pace that I would like us to see a project go, is nice and slow and, you know, have different options like Brad was saying. And but I feel that the spot that they're thinking about is definitely the wrong spot to put that police, you know, my personal opinion, and a lot of people in town, especially my good friend that lives right there, is gonna have that police station 50 feet from his window. But And the other thing is I don't think it's the right spot because of from a perspective of it, I think the police station should be more downtown with at least two if not three different avenues to respond to an emergency. When you're up at this other location sort of out of down Main Street, I'm really concerned with them being able to respond to something like, say, God forbid something happens at the high school and they're all up in here and there's 10,000 people in cars downtown trying to get, you know, it's going to slow the response time to an emergency like at the school. That's my thoughts on that. But as far as the, let's face it, we're going to need it. But, you know, I think we're going to need to definitely expand police station and fire station, but I almost would like to, you know, it's functioning right now. I would like to see us be able to get a few years, you know, quite a few years of breathing, but, you know, like this is probably several years down the road, this project sounds like. So, I mean, I like that it's going slow, but I almost think that what we have right now is functioning right now, and we're coming out of this COVID pandemic and everything, and we got a lot of people that, you know, I'd just like to see a good stretch of maybe no big projects, but that's sort of a wish. But that's how I feel about it.
Okay. Long as we're on that subject of COVID, Mr. Harriman, how has the pandemic changed the way the select board does business? If at all?
It has changed. In fact, the year that it kicked in hard, the first year we had it here, it happened to be the year that I was chairman of the board, and we went completely, the right term is, not in person anyway.
Virtual.
Thank you for the word. Sure. So we had the go-to meeting set up there, and that worked quite well. Everybody was able to tune into it. We were able to monitor very well. You know, the people were able to participate in all the discussions. We were able to see them on the screen and allow them to speak, just like they were at a regular meeting there. So that worked very well for us there. And we're still having our combined type meetings there, where the virtual element is still available to people that don't want to come out yet to the meetings and stuff, but then a lot of people do come. So if they still want to participate, we are monitoring it. If they have some question or public comment session that we have twice every meeting there, they're allowed to speak at that time. So we monitor that to give them the opportunities there too. So it has changed a bit in that regard. I think, you know, that first year, too, it was a little tough in the town hall because we had to close the town hall down. You had to have, after a little bit, you had to have an appointment to come in to see the town clerk because some business had to be done in person. As you know, you can't, you know, do everything electronically as far as, like, you know, probably, well, you can do see your registrations and stuff, but some of the things you still did need to come to see the town clerk to do some of the business there that residents need to do. So that made it difficult there to have to have appointments and stage people in and out, so we didn't have, you know, a lot of people close together at the time. So it was difficult. I think we got through it fairly well as could be expected, put it that way. So it kind of changed the way we did things, but I think it also opened up some opportunities that we can keep in place for even some of the elderly people that might want to like to attend or be able to speak at a meeting, but not have the ability or want to go out in a winter night and stuff to come to a meeting if there's something important for them to respond to or make a comment on. They're able to do it, you know, from the comfort of their home and stuff. So I think it's brought along, you know, some good things too for us, you know, moving forward. So.
Okay. Mr. Person, how will the pandemic change the way that you would be on the select board?
What do you mean by, like?
Well, is there anything that you would do differently because of the pandemic? Are we ready to just say, it's here, we live with it?
Oh, it's here and we live with it, but, you know, the whole COVID thing has really been devastating to the country and the world.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the virus is real. I just think that it's been used for other purposes worldwide. But I think pretty much we didn't know anything. I mean, I was down, parked in my truck down at the town docks, and there was nobody anywhere. And I was like, is this it? Is this really, you know, is this going to be the big one? But as we learn about things and as, you know, the science, follow the science and facts, I think we can, if another virus comes out, I think we can live through it better than this first time. Mm-hmm. I think we made a lot of mistakes. I just think of the children having to, you know, the masks. The science is out there. If you hate them or you love them, it's, you know, if you take the time, you can find the facts. It's all out there. You just don't get distracted by misinformation,
right?
Stuff like that. So I think we're going to be in a better position if something does arise like that again. And we're not through it yet. I mean, obviously we're not through it, but as far as the children in town and the schools and stuff, I think that's got to be handled a little bit different, but time will tell.
Okay. I was curious. We talked very briefly about it before we went on the air, Article 7, and I realized that this may be give you a chance to look that up. Something about sexually oriented businesses. Now, this is just a preemptive strike, as it were, or is this just some clearing up some definitions?
Yeah, I was on the planning board that developed this here. There's an existing ordinance now in place, very similar to this one. What this one does, it clarifies the language and the definitions much better in it, so that where we have in our ordinances the rules and regulations of where it's allowed, where it's not allowed, stuff like that, it's better well-defined so that, you know, it can't be much less opportunity for it to be challenged by somebody that wants to put something like this in. This by in no ways or means is an article that's promoting or allowing any type of these businesses to be in Wolfboro. In fact, it's limiting its ability to even be in town to what we have there now by upgrading these definitions, making it more difficult and really defining everything that it's that. So that it's not allowed in the districts and in our different zones in town. So that's what it's all about, is clarification and definitions of what we already have.
Well, we don't expect a strip bar opening up in Wolfboro anytime soon. But are there any other businesses you think, Mr. Person, that just aren't right for Wolfboro?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know,
it is.
I want to say I agree with Brad 100% on that article and everything. It's something I would never in my lifetime want to see in Wolfboro. This day and age, you got the internet. What you do on your time and whatever should be, that's behind closed. You know, we don't need to have something like that in the town for sure. But lost track. Yeah, what
we that's think? Okay. We were just talking about what type of businesses would be not appropriate for Wolfboro.
I that's a tough one. You know, the drive-throughs is, you know, that's a tough one. You know, that Dunkin' Donuts went in, and that seems to be, you know, it was a big deal. But it fits in pretty good down there, and God, everybody uses it. You see the traffic back up. I think they need a little more room and parking, but but you know, as far as businesses, I would not, because we're a town that's on the lake. I think anything like industrial or anything pollution wise or something that could impact the environment or the townspeople that way. You know, that would be an inappropriate, or you know, but as far as that.
Well, I was saving the drive-through for near last, and as we are coming up on 12:52, it's probably a good time to start talking about that. As you say, the Dunkin' Donuts went in. People use the drive-through. The world has not ended. However, there seems to be quite a lot of opposition to another one, which would probably be a fast food restaurant. Where are you on that?
I don't know.
I mean,
you know,
if people don't want to use it, they won't use
it. Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, in lots of communities, there's small mom-and-pop shops and stuff, and then when someone comes in like Walmart, it's just, I think it's just, the small business just gets disintegrated from something like that, you know, and if, like, say, if a McDonald's or Wendy's or something come in, I think that's probably going to impact a lot of the local restaurants, you know, a lot. I really do. But
so you think it would hurt the existing restaurant base?
Yes. And okay. You know, again, I want to go back to this is America. You know, if you go down the right avenues and you make it through, I'm not going to lose any sleep. You know, that's the way I feel about that.
Okay, Mr. Harriman.
Yeah, that's been an ongoing topic for years here since I've been on the board. I think we've had the last 2 or 3 years we've had it presented as a petition warrant article to allow it. It's been defeated every year. One of the gentlemen that's been behind it proposing it came to the board and asked us to hold a public forum, an informational forum on that at the planning board level, and we did that. A lot of people question, well, why are you doing that? And you know, my opinion was that I think we owe it to the town and to the townspeople to have just a public forum, let people come in and speak on it so we get another feel for it, just explore all opportunities, give everybody an opportunity to speak on it, which we did. I'm trying to remember, we probably had 30 or 40 plus people at the hearing that evening. And all but one were 100% against the drive-through restaurants coming into Wolfboro. So, you know, you kind of need to listen to what the town wants in something like this, especially. You know, the town's voted it down a number of times. You know, at this forum, it was spoken very definitely against and stuff. So I think the town has pretty much spoken on the majority of the people have spoken on how they feel about it, and that's probably the way the town should continue on.
Okay, one of the things I've noticed in the local restaurants is I don't see a lot of Keno that you do in a lot of other places. Is there is that just a choice that the restaurants have made, or is that are there rules on the books here in Wolfboro?
I recall we did have one application for Keno when it was Joe Green's down there. I think they came in for an application for it. It's pretty much, I think you have to get permission from the town, but they are governed by the gaming commission and stuff like that as to mm-hmm. the operation of the whole thing. So I think it's been pretty much a choice of the businesses here that haven't chosen to bring it in into their establishment and stuff, so... we don't have any ordinance prohibiting it or anything. So they just the way I understand it is that the applicant would just need to bring it before the Board of Selectmen for an approval to get it there. So okay. Just so we're aware that it's there, I think, so it can be monitored and everything by make sure the correct gaming commission that everybody knows that it's there. So
okay, Mr. Person, you have no problem with Keno?
I don't even know how to play it.
Neither do I.
About the game.
Well, I've watched people play it, but I don't know.
I think the lottery commission's got the gambling locked up pretty tight, yeah. So I don't know how that would work, but okay. That's my thought on it.
All right, we're coming up on 12:57, so since Mr. Harriman was first, Mr. Person, you can be first. Your closing remarks, anything you want to say?
Yeah, hopefully you can vote for me. I really like to get in there. Like I said, I would have a lot to learn, but I really would like Wolfboro. I think it's a great town to live in, and it's a pretty good functioning for the most part. I just think there's a lot of a lot of tweaking that could be done to make it a lot better. I talked about transparency, and I just, not only spending money, but, you know, a lot of decisions that I see get made in town, like, let me just do one quick story.
Sure.
The Back Bay Park on Bay Street, the Conservation Commission sort of went in there, and I know they had, I think they did have a hearing or meetings about it, but they wanted to come in with the herbicide and do treatment in there. And I was shocked that one day I just, we started to, my son owns a shop across the street, and we were all sitting there and we're like, what's that smell? And come to find out, they were in there, the town of Wolfboro and the Conservation Commission hired someone to spray a herbicide in there that's stronger than Roundup, and we could smell it across the street. And I went over and I went, what the hell's going on? But then I went down, talked to the town manager, and come to find out, they just went ahead and they started spraying in there. Nobody put any signs up saying that they were spraying the chemical in there. And, those are some of the irresponsible decisions that get made in town. And I was pretty upset with that. So I called the state and they said, well, it's a invasive species plants, so they don't need to post it. And so I did a little research, but anyways, that herbicide was like, it's devastating the dogs. And here, everybody walks their dogs in the park. And I'm like over there trying to warn people, you know, take a week off or something. And it was like, I just think that was a real irresponsible move to go and treat that in there without being able to put signs up, at least for people and their dogs and everything. But that's what I mean by transparency. It's just, I'd like to see a lot bit more of that. And hopefully you can vote for me next Tuesday. Thanks.
Okay, Mr. Harriman.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity here today for us to come in and speak to everybody that's listening. I appreciate everybody's support over the past 9 years that I've been on the board. There's still a lot more work to do. I'd like to continue on working for the town here. A lot of projects I'd like to see, move forward and in fiscally responsible way and everything for the town. And be part of that with the town. So I appreciate your support on the 8th, and thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, if anybody missed part of the show or want to hear it again, or for the first time, you can download the podcast at WASR.net, and that will be available within the next half an hour or so. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in. I appreciate both of you taking the time and managed to make your schedules work to be here. Thank you.
Yep.
1 o'clock.